Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 81 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emilson, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, because we have a lot of big news to talk about, we actually have a couple other folks on the show. Say hi, Abe.
Hello.
And we've got, actually, we were discussing this before you got on the on Discord. Is it Hina Lover or Hina Lover?
Hina.
Hey, I got it right. Okay.
I'm so wrong. Not surprised.
No, we're right. They're just saying it wrong.
Okay, but yeah, we've got Abe and Hina joining us to talk about patch 9.1.5. Primarily, that's what we're going to be talking about, the new announcements. We got some information on systems changes. We got information about the new cosmetics. We actually have like art station kind of stuff about what the new cosmetics are going to look like, the different options that are coming for those allied races. And then just like so much to cover. We're talking about that stuff. We're not doing Lore Corner or Q&A today. It's all this 9.1.5 announcement stuff. So before we get into that, though, we do have a couple other bits of the show that we are going to go through. First off being progress. How is that? How has this week gone for you, Anom?
It was good. So we got Fate Scribe down. We finally figured out how to do runes in phase 3. So that was like the reason we're wiping. We went a couple times there. Yeah. And then we got to Kel'Thuzad and fight sucks, dude. Straight up just awful. There's like just a lot of AFK time. Healing wise, it's not difficult at all. At least like phase 1 and phase 2 right now is where we're basically wiping as we go into the second sort of transition phase. It's really like honestly, it's more of like a DPS control fight more than anything. And we have like my guild just DPS are not very
bright. Can't keep it in their pants.
They just can't control themselves. So it's been a bit of a learning experience, but I mean, I get to use revival to dispel a bunch of roots, which is fun. Really like using that ability for its dispel functions. I don't know. There's no healing. It's just use every cooldown every 3 minutes and like that's it. So it's fairly boring. I'll say super underwhelming as a second to last boss. I'd say it's actually probably in my time playing the game, probably one of the worst second to last bosses for any sort of tier. I was trying to think of one that might actually be more bad, if that's a word you could say. Badder.
Literally just had Stone Legion Generals.
So it's worse. So here's the thing with Stone Legion. So and I know we don't have a ton of time to talk about this, but the problems with Stone Legion were that the fight didn't work the way they wanted. Right? The problems with Kel'Thuzad is it's working exactly how they intended. And it's a bad fight. Like, regardless of the bugs, like dying to like getting like Wicked Blade hit like 4 times as you get pushed by winds, right? And like there's nothing you can do about that, or just sort of some of the DPS timings and like holds there and it being a longer fight, whatever. But like Kel'Thuzad, nothing happens. As long as your DPS can DPS when they're supposed to, the fight's a joke. Like, and so that's the thing, is like it's worse than SLG, even with the bugs. It's worse than Mithrax, or not Mithrax. What was the EP second last boss?
Is it cool?
Yeah, I don't know why I had an M in my head. Yeah, it's worse than Zakul. Mithrax is actually a pretty good boss. But yeah, it's just in my opinion, I will say, probably one of the worst second last bosses I've done in years. Just because it's nothing happens. Like, at least, again, Stone Legion was hard. Like, there was healing. You had to sort of manage cooldowns. There was some movement stuff. It was buggy. Yes, it was buggy. But, like, there was a level of difficulty. Kel'Thuzad is like, if you get silent circles on you, run to a spot. If you get spikes on you, run to a spot. Like, and then wait and use all your cooldowns every 3 minutes. And hope your DPS can DPS when they want. So, in any event, that's Kel'Thuzad. Hopefully we kill it this week, and then we'll be on Sylvanas for a couple weeks and be done with this tier at that point. So, I don't know, Emilson, I think I saw you got Painsmith down.
We got Painsmith last pull of the night last week.
Oh, nice.
So that was nice. That means we got no pulls on Guardian. So we went and killed Guardian on Friday this week, took about 10 pulls, pretty standard. Nice. Nothing really to say there. Started working on Fate Scribe. Grimportant, really dumb. We have a bunch of raiders that, like, so there's a thing. You have to turn your particle density up to make the visual effect for the rune you're assigned for Grimportant show up. If it's not high enough, it's like very, very subtle. There's also something going on, and we haven't entirely nailed it down yet, but something going on that's just making the indicator just randomly disappear for people. So like it'll work fine for them 10 pulls in a row, and then, you know, the 11th pull, it just won't show up. And we're not sure if it's a, like, I mean, it's obviously a bug of some kind, but we're not sure if it's related to some kind of graphical setting or if it's just like they broke a thing on Fate Scribe this week. But we're going to try having them turn spell effects from dynamic to like everything. So like, cause like that's the only thing I can think of. It would be like sometimes removing it and sometimes leaving it in.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. We didn't have any issues like that in our raid with it. We just had issues with people actually realizing they couldn't soak any circle. And then also people realizing they had to soak a circle. And then also people realizing what the graphic looked like for that circle that they had to soak. So like, yeah, basically people not realizing what that ability did was our biggest issue going in. So,
And Hina and Abe, I don't know exactly what you guys are doing as far as raiding right now. If you guys...
Right now, I'm still raiding. I do 2 days a week, tonight and tomorrow, actually. Last week... We're way behind because it's a 2 day week raid. We're way behind on that stuff. We're right now finishing up on Azul. We should have that done hopefully today, and then start working on Soul Render tonight or tomorrow. In which I get to have the fun job of DPSing all the ads. Yeah. Other than that, nothing else too much. I finally got my 2K for the actually the very first time Friday. So first time ever for Master Keymaster. So other than that, nothing too much. Spent 2 weeks ago going from Kyrian to Necrolord in 4 days.
Jesus.
Nice.
Other than that, nothing else.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I'm just chilling. I'm not raiding right now. I'm just blasting keys. And I'm not blasting too high right now. Like, we got our first few 18s done last week, but, you know.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
Just chilling. Well, yeah, so that's that. Let's get into, we're going to...
We'll do an abbreviated version.
Bit about the things that are changing that are not related to 9.1.5. We're going to kind of blast through that and then move on to 9.1.5 stuff.
Yeah. So I'll quickly sort of blast these sort of things that have happened that weren't the 9.1.5 news. So first up is basically this week was the first week in Powered Conduits. Or not the first week, the second week, I guess, that Empowered Conduits are now a thing. So you should have like multiple of these. This was the first week, wasn't it?
No.
Second week. Okay. Then I don't know why I put this in here, but Empowered Conduits are still a thing. A lot of times you'll get like your second potency or your first potency is now based on what your first soul bind was. So good luck with that. Make sure you keep your good conduits towards the start of your tree. So they get that extra two levels. The other thing too is they made a couple of hot fixes to the game this week. Some the big one, right, is they basically added the ability to get the faction specific rune carving memories from Chronicles of Lost without having the required reputation, which is good. You can now collect all your sort of, you know, legendary powers without necessarily, you know, crossing over having those reps, which is good. And then they made a couple of changes to, I guess, Kel'Thuzad had with the spikes. If no one ever damaged them, they will now apply their frozen destruction, which is the dot, appropriately. So,
yeah, that was a fun bug. So basically, before, if nobody ever touched a spike, it wouldn't be in combat with the players, and it just wouldn't apply the dot to them. or do damage to the players. So you could, with very good trigger discipline on your raiders and like zero boomkins because Starfall, you could have your, you basically didn't need healing on the fight at all because you take zero damage from the glacial spikes. That's been fixed.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is, that's actually, I mean, it's an interesting change. I mean, we have, we run with three boomkins in my raid, so we never actually got a chance to try this out, but yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm out of boomkins right now, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah. They're definitely, they're good, though. We have, like, our raid has basically two sets of classes that are always dead, and it's our boomkin, and it's our shaman. So, like, maybe it's a good thing, right? Like, so...
Boomkin brain is real.
Yeah. They kill each other on Painsman all the time. So that's sort of a couple of quick hot fixes. Oh, I guess the other big thing, which I didn't put in here, but there's the Kevin fix, which was the Necrolord Soulbind, which was like, I guess, an add that you could infinitely stack up a buff on them, particularly if you were an unholy DK, and just do a massive amounts of damage.
I saw a picture of someone with a 2-minute buff on Kevin, so yeah.
Basically what happened is Kevin's Oozling is a Necrolord Soulbind that was supposed to trigger when you use your Soulbind ability or your Covenant ability. Well, for certain specs, they have a Covenant ability that sometimes doesn't do everything it's supposed to because, you know, there's nobody in range, especially healers. So sometimes your Covenant ability just wouldn't have anybody to heal. So they made a change so that you would still get Kevin, even if that were the case. That broke things. So that, for example, Unholy DKs started getting a application of the Kevin like duration buff for every target that was hit by Grabby Hands. Every target that was hit by Bone Dust Brew was doing this. So you could get very long Kevin uptimes completely trivially, which is very important because the effect that Kevin has is a 6% damage increase on your target. This is like a pretty good effect to have up all the time.
Yeah.
So then they fixed it again, and now it's working correctly.
Unfortunate. R.I.P. Kevin on this.
Thank
one.
God nobody liked Kevin.
FN chats.
That's true. That is true. But cool. So yeah, a couple of quick hot fixes there. So moving on to the next piece. Blizzard did put out a little bit of a post earlier on this week about some lag fixes, particularly targeting the Sylvanas encounter. You know, notoriously, end encounters have had a little bit of a lag issue the past couple of tiers. I mean, Denathrius was notorious for this. And Sylvanas is on pull, basically. People are complaining about to like 5 seconds worth of lag, of like not being able to do anything, like your abilities don't register. So they've essentially made a blue post saying, yep, we realize this is happening and we were making some changes to help support this. So they said they put in a bunch of fixes this week. To be fair, I've not pulled Sylvanas this week. I cannot tell you if these have helped at all, particularly in Mythic, where I think it was most noticeable. But yeah, it seems like they are at least taking a look at this, something they never really posted about on Denathrius. A lot of times it was players sort of figuring out that, like, hey, you can't cast certain abilities when all the adds spawn. Server performance hopefully getting better. I think this is something that we're probably going to see, something they probably have to spend some time on, particularly in 10.0 in terms of like engineering time, because I think encounters are not getting less complex. They're only getting more complex. And I think this issue just deals with the complexity of what they're trying to put together. So,
I know with Denathrius is because of the Paladin Venthyr ability was causing a buttload of issues. That was part of it.
That one, Earthen Wall Totem, there were a couple others that like just generated huge numbers of events that would lag the servers. But some of it was also actually just the fact that you don't get your, when you are raiding, you don't get your own server, right? So if you're raiding it during prime time on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, depending on the region that you're in, it's going to take way less for you to experience that lag. So the weekday team in my guild dealt with a lot of lag on Sired and Athreus because they were raiding on Tuesday and Wednesday, while my team, which raids on the weekends, basically never had to deal with lag on Athreas. They were like, we had to be careful about not putting, you know, the Earthenwall Totem, the Ashen Hollow, and the all the different like D&D stuff down to generate a bajillion events at the same time. But other than that, you know, we didn't have any issues with it. So that's something as well that, like, because so many guilds raid on Tuesday night,
yeah,
it's kind of rough if you're raiding then. But
yeah, almost like they might be able to scale it up. Like maybe they do like auto scaling. They could add new servers randomly. Like that might be a thing. I don't know what their architecture looks like, but I've heard about this thing called the cloud.
But yeah,
I load balancing too.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, because I write on Sunday, Monday, I do see some lag at the start of Sylvanas. Like, for example, sometimes I'll do a flying serpent kick into Sylvanas, and for some reason, it just would not register my flying serpent kick slam right before it, and I'll just overshoot her by a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen that. Yeah. I've seen like roll where sometimes I'll just tap roll and it won't go off, but I'll keep going. And then, then roll after the fact, it would take a couple steps. So, yeah.
Into like the target, the AoE caps, because like there wasn't really much lag in Legion, right? Or BFA.
Maybe there was a lot of lag in BFA, just not in the raid instances.
Yeah, but I mean, like, those are the important ones, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is actually the number of events that fire. I think that's actually more an issue than the AoE cap, right? Is that
there's
just either more information that's sent between the client and the server, and the server has to process, or because of like the way they probably load encounters, like with Sylvanas and all the ads that show up in phase two. I'm wondering if they load those entities at the start of the fight so that they're there and they can spawn in, right? And that's probably causing some like initial lag from all the server processing and stuff like that. So probably a number of different issues. I don't know if the AoE cap is particularly the one. I think a lot of people talked about that one with Denathrius and the fact that like with the damage you'd have to. Oh yeah, we lost Abbe. I think he's still here.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just disappeared on camera.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be, hopefully this fixes it, right? Like from an engineering perspective, they're just putting a little bit more time and love into how these end encounters, I think, is where it's been most prevalent, right? How these end encounters function, which is the complexity there. So, so cool. All right. So moving on, this is just a quick one. I know it's not a Warcraft specific one or WoW specific one, but they are renaming a hero in Overwatch, McCree. The hero will be renamed. Of course, McCree was essentially, I guess, named after Jesse McCree, who was one of the individuals that Blizzard let go through the old scandal. It's not scandal, but the issues. The lawsuit and things like that came out. So this is significant because McCree is a significant character. McCree also worked on World of Warcraft as, I think, the lead level designer for them.
Yeah, because back in Legion, if you go to Argus right now, there's one of the zones called McCree. One of the quest designer who has a female quest designer who has left in the last year or two, when she was working with the voice actors, she specifically said, "Please pronounce it McCree." So. They may be renaming it so that it's more in line with the voiceover acting. So we're just not sure what's going to happen with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's big too from a character renaming perspective, because this is like a huge undertaking for them to take on Overwatch, right? We've already seen them do it with like the Alex Sasabi or whatever, however you pronounce his last name. You know, his character is being renamed in World of Warcraft. And
there's a couple voiced, which adds a whole extra layer of complexity.
Yeah, so there's no voicing there. And then there's also like the LeCraft. Jonathan LeCraft was also let go. He's got a multitude of NPCs named after him. So I'm wondering if this becomes a like Blizzard no longer naming things after employees.
They actually did say that in the announcement. They're not going to name NPCs characters after employees anymore. Just like blanket, not going to do it.
which is, I mean, to be fair, it's a good thing. Like, I work for a company that went through that. We used to have a title sponsor. It was an individual. His name was Tiger Woods. And when Tiger Woods went through his scandal, we immediately dropped everything and our branding was immediately changed, right? So there's a, I think naming things after individuals is always a slippery slope because that individual can sometimes do some things that aren't very good or aren't very, you know, things you want to have, you know, have your brand associated with. So be interesting to see how they go through and rename a bunch of stuff. Cause there's a, I mean, particularly from like Vanilla and like into BC, and I mean, I guess even today, but there are just stuff, like things are named after people all the time, whether they're employees or people from the community, right? So
it's funny. So Magic the Gathering has not done cards with references to people on it since basically like 2003 or 2004. They stopped doing it because they had a card that was a, like a tournament winner, got their name on a card basically, and then people found out that they had been cheating to win.
Oh, Jesus.
So they stopped that. And now this is, you know, literally 15, 16 years later, Blizzard learning the same lesson, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So that is, I guess it'll be interesting to see how they go about in doing all this. I'm assuming this ends up being something that if they are going to go through and do like a whole change of everything from top to bottom, right, it ends up being like a 10.0 type endeavor where they go back and change it all. It's just the question that I would have is, does this impact like classic WoW at all, right? Like, do they go through the same renaming that they'll do on retail, you know?
I suspect that they will, but
yeah. And I mean, it would be a lot easier because it's like you work on it once and then it's just like copy paste.
Yeah for both of them. Yeah, that's fair.
I was going to say, with the voice acting, they could do some voice acting, I'm not sure if you realize, but they redid the voice acting for Kel'Thuzad, for Alive, and I'm not sure if they're doing that for, Classic or not, so they could be.
Yeah. I think the thing with Overwatch is just how many people say McCree's name, so they have to get not just, like, a new voice actor for that character, they have to get all the other voice actors back in to re-record lines or just drop the lines entirely.
Yeah. Well, they could keep the McCree's voice actor, a guy from
Critical
Role.
Matt Mercer.
Yeah, he could stay on. He's
right. I was thinking it was Jesse McCree that actually voiced McCree, but that's not the case. It's Matt Mercer.
Yeah, so they can keep Matt Mercer. It's just he would just do a lot more renaming.
Right. It's just that they're going to need to get all the other voice actors in to re-record lines or like not have those lines played, the ones that reference him by name, which I guess there's probably not that many. They don't usually like call each other out by name, but yeah.
That's fair.
Anyway. Fair. Thing before we hit the 9.1.
Yeah, one last real thing, and we'll probably maybe spend more time next week on this one because I'm a little interested. But Burning Crusade Phase 2, September 15th, it has a date, so it'll launch September 15th. So if you're into Phase 2, is of course the SSC TK content patch, right?
It's SSC TK, bunch of they're adding some badge gear.
Yep. And I guess it's also SCC TK, which is fun. I mean, to be fair, Kel'Thalas is probably the first fight I've ever done in a video game where I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. Like, this is the coolest stuff ever. But it'll be fun. I'm still level 59. We can say I'm really into BC.
Now.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I use my boost, by the way. So I have leveled one level.
I'm with you there.
Since it came out. So
I have not touched a classic at all. I just don't feel like doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing is like, my point is, I guess my feeling is I've done it once. Like if I really cared, it would have been like not BC classic, but original classic that I didn't get to finish. Right. But I mean, I've done everything BC onward, right? In terms of like expansion stuff. So, yeah. kill wise, yeah, it'll be.
Yeah.
In any event, it is what it is. September 15th, phase two. People are already upset about it taking so long to come out, which is love communities.
What are they upset about? The fact that it just took so long because they have had nothing to do, or?
Well, the couple of the points I saw was just like, this was in the original game at launch. Why is it in the re-release at launch? So it's just like, because you would have cleared everything and had 6 months to do nothing instead of like 3 months, right? So
yeah.
Yep.
All right. In any events, let us get sort of shift gears into the big topic of this week, which is, of course, Blizzard did a big announcement on 9.1.5. So what I think would be best is I'll give an overview, sort of just read through exactly what they've talked about, and then we can sort of dive into different pockets of what we want, right, in terms of like the big thing. So basically on Friday, out of the blue, Blizzard put up a fairly lengthy post, which I'll sort of take in two parts, right? So one post they put up was essentially sort of them describing some of the things in longer form, what they're going to do and sort of changes coming in 9.1.5. And then they put out a tweet that basically gave you a quick little graphic of like, here's the things on the menu for 9.1.5 from a fall update perspective. And I'll tell you, this is like, just to start this off, this is one of the first developer updates I've ever seen from like a 0.5 release that was so clear, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of things that are coming in 9.1.5 at a very quick high level, you've got Legion Time Walking with Mythic Plus, which will be interesting. They're adding improved covenant swapping, which we'll get into that. Conduit energy being removed, aka the ripcord has been pulled. I think he might still be around. The other piece is we have legendary item recycling. We've got new Allied Race customizations, which I talked about last week. They're adding some skips to the Covenant campaign for alts. And then some legacy raid tuning, which some of the legacy raids I know are very awful to solo. And then, of course, new toys, mounts, travel forms, and then talent and buff ability buffs, or talent and ability buffs, which actually includes conduits, soul binds, things like that. All that type of stuff is sort of included in the, that I think, talent and buff stuff. So it's actually a fairly major 0.5 release. So I think maybe we start with sort of the larger blue post that they made, right? Which they go into a little bit more detail on a couple of things. So maybe we start with the covenant swapping one, which is essentially what they've stated is that once you reach a high enough renown level, which I would assume is 80, right? Once you reach the current cap, you will be able to freely swap between any of the four covenants. And you can basically swap. Essentially, it seems like at will. I'm wondering if this is one of those things where you have to go to like Ouroboros, talk to somebody, swap,
yeah,
and you're good. But still, there's no quest anymore. There's no like 2 week timeline, anything like that. So this is a good change. I think it's a good change. And a lot of people are like, well, why didn't you do this sooner? And I don't think from a story perspective, this made sense to do any sooner than.
Yeah, it did. I have to disagree on that one. This made sense to do in 9.0. This made sense to allow us to swap back and forth between covenants at higher renown levels at a minimum in 9.0, with things like the Necrolord and Kyrian, or sorry, like Necrolord and Venthyr campaigns kind of merging at the end and already being like explicit allies at that point in time. The Kyrian having an entire segment of their campaign quest where they're like working with the Necrolords. The only one that really is kind of out there by itself is the Night Fae, which has kind of its own, story that stands on its own in 9.0. But I definitely think it makes sense. It would have made sense for them to do this in 9.0 as well. But at this point, it certainly makes sense for 9.1.
Yeah, especially given the fact that it is, they are basically combined to go after the jailer. So yeah, having them all to, having everything unlocked is probably way overdue.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think your point made sense. To your point, if we waited until you were max renown, you know, then you could swap in 9.0. I think the only thing my only potential issue is like that once they do this change, they can never roll it back, right? So if there was ever a part of the story where like the covenants weren't coming together in 9.1 or 9.2, yeah, right, and that was a later story beat, then like it would feel weird, because maybe I'm just playing devil's advocate here, right, more than anything, but there's a story component outside of just the gameplay, right, around covenants that like they kind of probably have to say somewhat true to, with you like pledging your allegiance to one of them, and supporting them through their battle with the, or figuring out what's happening, I guess, in their domain first, right? And then once they get their house in order, then it's okay, we can start to help other houses, right? So
This is, I think, a particularly nice change for monks right now, though, because how Mistweavers want Venthyr, Windwalkers want Necrolord, Brewmaster is either Kyrian or Necrolord. So we have somebody on our raid team right now that kind of flexes between Mistweaver and Windwalker. So they're playing Necrolord for Windwalker, and that means that, you know, their Mistweaver is noticeably worse than it would be if they were just purely.
Yeah, and also, well, Nightfae is actually, because I know Lloyd is running Nightfae as well, mostly because of the fights for Sanctum.
Gotcha.
And you know, Go ahead, sorry.
No, go Abbe. But
no, I wouldn't be shocked that, you know, like this whole change was already pre-planned by Blizzard, and now it's just like we've hit that point, and they're like, whoa, we've listened to you guys. We've changed our ways.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it could have been a another issue. Could have been it could have been a design choice previously, and they have to kind of redesign everything. So it I don't think it may have been intended originally to quote unquote pull the ripcord, but here we are.
I mean, I think Ian said like in beta or alpha that they could do it if they needed to.
Well, that's,
so I don't know if that was like we already have the plans or like it's a redesign that we can do.
Yeah, I mean that's the ripcord meme. Right, yeah. That's where the ripcord meme comes from. Like Ian literally said, like if it's enough, we'll pull the ripcord and let you swap freely. Right, like that's what it was. That's where it comes from, like his own mouth. Right, so like the idea is, I mean, I think at that point, there's a balance. Right, this is where I kind of play devil's advocate. Is like there's a balance of being like if they told us in 9.0 in 9.1 you could freely swap covenants, players would still be upset because they're like, why don't we have it now? And like the answer to that is like, well, we want you to play out the first part of the story, right? And at that point, people are somewhat spoiled by that because they can say, well, I guess eventually all the covenants come together against one single force, right? Which maybe the writing was on the wall at that point anyway in the story, but there's sort of a, I think there's somewhat of a balance in the way that WoW is designed today with story being such an integral part to it, that like some of the design choices they're going to make may be bad for gameplay, but good for story. And I think that's, I think that's what we potentially ran up against in this case.
I do not believe at all that the decision was made for a narrative reason.
Okay.
Zero belief that they made that choice for narrative purposes. If you look at how they presented covenants early on, it's clear that they wanted these to be kind of a subclass thing where, you know, when you make a character, you pick a class and then, you know, that's your class. That's just, you can't change that. There's no class changes or anything like that. But that never panned out. I think it was 100% like they were trying to design these to be, you know, subclasses. That's how they wanted people to treat them. But the system just didn't support that. And the narrative stuff in my mind is just excuses. You know, trying to justify it when I don't think the story at any point really justified locking you into a covenant.
That's fair. But yeah, so I mean, I guess swapping covenants is a thing in 9.1.5, so coming in, which will be fun. Yeah, it'd be good. I mean, I know even outside of monks, I know that Paladin, like at least our Holy Paladin, you know, they want to be Venthyr for raiding, but Kyrian for PvP. So he's been sort of stuck not PvPing because he can't not be Venthyr. We'll just replace him.
Oh wait, actually I'll hold off until you get to the next point.
Gotcha. There you go. So yeah, so then the next one that they sort of talked about in the same big blue post was conduit energy being removed. And so the funny thing is that, so I'll read word for word what they said in the thing, because I think it's probably what they should start saying to about a lot of systems, which is like, The system simply has not played out the way we had hoped it would. We should have heeded community feedback and taken a different direction a year ago. And then they go on to be like, a majority of the players largely ignore the system and aren't affected by it, while the minority who want to engage in multiple content types competitively feel constrained by it. Overall, that adds up to a negative experience. Like, literally word for word, what was said in beta is like their second set of posts, which is literally like, hey guys, like players are like, most people aren't going to care because they're going to set it and forget it. But the people that do care are literally going to be screwed over by this. And it's going to be super painful, right? And so like, yeah, this is just one of those things where like, awesome, you literally are basically saying you didn't listen to feedback from us and you thought you were right. Like, that's what I got out of this is like, hey, players were right in the fact that you don't listen to feedback, Blizzard. You think you're right. You think you make good decisions. And like, yeah, maybe there are some cases where like players get it wrong, right? Or not some cases, but there's definitely cases.
I do think there are definitely cases that we get it wrong or we want to have like our cake and eat it too. And, you know, there are cases where they are correct to not let us try and have our cake and eat it too because it won't work.
Yeah, but this is just one of those things where it's like there was such a visceral reaction to this, right? Even through beta and even as it goes live that like just, yeah, I don't know what took them so long.
I mean, as a player, we're going to be like very fine in the details, right? It's going to be like, this sucks about conduit energy, while Blizzard designers are probably going to be looking at a bigger picture. So they're going to be like, well, this is a minor thing. We'll leave it for later. But to us, it's like the impactful thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this in general, in terms of like the way that this, like this, a change to this system is generally a minor change in the grand scheme of things, but it generated so much of like a lightning rod in the community in terms of like this, like people were literally saying that we're making some of these posts that were like, I will never, like, this does not affect me at all. Like, I will never change. Like, I'm always going to be like, personally, I have never run into a content energy issue. I mean, in general, Mistweaver conduits are not that good. You basically run the same ones regardless of what content you're doing. However, I can understand someone who has to change conduits like as they do raids and then as they want to go do PvP or if they have something different in like dungeons versus raids, right? And I get that.
Imagine playing a spec that has different conduits for Mythic Plus.
Oh, yeah. Raid. Like Warlock.
Meanwhile, I think I'm in the same boat as you. The only time I've come close to running into issues with conduit energy is doing PvP in 9.0. Swapping all of my conduits back and forth from Brewmaster to Windwalker in order to do arenas. And even then, I never actually ran out of conduit energy. I just like got low.
Me, especially in 9.0, I was running one conduit for Windwalker, one conduit for Brewmaster, one conduit for Soulbind for Mistweaver, and I did not change. Period. Amen.
Yeah, that was the easy way to do it. Yeah, but I can tell. I mean, this just seems like one of those things where they like put their foot in the ground stubbornly, and like it's not. I don't think there's a bunch of like developer time required to do this. I don't think this is like a difficult system to untangle to remove like the energy restriction, right? So, like in my mind, I know that. All like from a player perspective, all game design is simple. You change a number and then everything works. And I get it, it's not that simple, but this doesn't seem like the type of redesign that's like, hey, we're adding a new raid tier, or hey, we're like changing the way a base like class functions. So yeah, I don't know. It's a great change. I'm happy, but I think the my sentiment about all this, right, as we get through the rest of this, is gonna be like, I'm cautiously happy. I'm like, I'm really ecstatic they finally spent the time, first time in probably three expansions, maybe. I'll be generous, two expansions I know for sure, where we've actually gotten a like larger post about where their design decisions are going and why they're making certain changes. So like communication, awesome, but like I hope it's not just a 9.15 thing and then in 9.2 they forget about that they have players and they just start putting stuff in the game again, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we get this post and then in 9.2 we get, you know, domination sets 2.0,
please no.
Yeah.
Those are being changed and making work, they're being fixed so they actually work after the patch released.
So I mean, again, conduit energy being removed I think is a great thing from a community like just opinion perspective, and I think most people are going to be really happy just across the board with these changes. But I think the other side of this is like a lot of this stuff's a year late, right? At least the acknowledgement that you've seen our feedback is a year late, right? Whether or not the changes need to be in or not, it's more the acknowledgement like, hey, we literally spent a bunch of time. I'm still salty, by the way, about BTR, where like the Monk community had what, like 1,200 posts from a community feedback perspective and three total blue posts, one of those being the first post that started the thread, right? Mm. So like, I think I'm a little salty there about feedback wise, but I mean, I think in general you have, these two changes, right, are good, right?
Yeah, what was it? It was like the third most populous thread and only three posts, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, yeah, of a class that's generally considered small in terms of overall population, right? Like, I think the higher ones were like maybe Shadow Priests and, who was the other? I think it may have been a Hunter spec. But it's like, Monk in general is a low, you know, population class, right? In terms of who, the number of players that play it. So you'd expect feedback-wise to be lower. It just, yeah, it just wasn't, so.
I mean, sometimes you just want to, we're working on it, relax.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And that's so I meant to mention that, which is the server lag thing. They put that as a second sentence, which is like, hey, we've been working on this for weeks. We just neglected to tell you. Like, what? Like, everyone has the ability to post
a simple where we realize there's aware of lag. The issue and are working on it goes a long way. Like, I understand that interacting with the WoW community is scary, and like rightfully so, the WoW community is scary. But you know, going, hey, we know this is an issue, we're trying to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, there's always going to be a person who's negative about anything. They post that, and somebody's going to post like, well, why isn't it fixed right now? Like, why isn't this your number one priority? I've seen
so many people whose takes about the Sylvanas thing are, oh, they found the issue and then didn't fix it. Like, no. That's not what that post says. Have you tried using your eyes to read?
Yeah.
Because that's not what the post said.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's always going to be some negative sentiment from it. But yeah, I mean, good. I mean, the whole condo energy removal, awesome change. Super excited for everybody that gets impacted by that. So, or that actually got, you know, ran into that issue. So, the other final thing in this big post they mentioned was just basically a campaign skip, right? So the idea now is that once you've, it's basically on any alt. So once you've completed a given campaign, Covenant's campaign, you no longer have to ever interact with that campaign again on an alt.
Oh, God.
So
this is the second worst part of leveling a new alt is reaching level 60 and realizing that you have to do the entire Covenant campaign again. Probably the Night Fae campaign, because it's still the number one campaign, the number one covenant for most specs. Or number one covenant in terms of like number of specs that use it as their best.
Yeah.
So I've done the Night Fae campaign probably four times at this point. I've done the Venthyr campaign twice, the Kyrian campaign twice, and I've never actually done the Necrolord campaign.
How many alts do you have?
Some of that's covenant switching. Like, I did both the Night Fae and the Kyrian campaign on my monk, for example.
Because you didn't pick the right one first, okay.
And here I am with gone through the Kyrian, gone through the Necrolord, and about halfway through the Night Fae, and I've not done the Venthyr one yet.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's fun content. It's just not fun content.
I think it's worth doing all of them once. It's just, I don't want to do them over and over again. And it's the same reason, like, Threads of Fate is great because of how it lets you not do the same locked-in story quest, you know, on every single character. And
unless you're doing Warlords of Draenor or treasure hunting.
I mean, even WoD, you can like do the treasure hunting to reach the high enough level to go and do one of the other zones. So you can entirely skip parts of the WoD, you know, camp. I mean, you still have to do the intro, but you can skip everything except for that. And the intro is like 30 minutes. So it's not that bad. This is, you know, going through all the campaign could take you two or three evenings in a week if you had it all unlocked.
Yeah. I guess including the two covenants skipping is they've also let you skip the Maw intro.
Which, screw the Maw intro. That thing sucks.
Which is, I think, to me, is actually probably the bigger point. Mm-hmm. Is like, because whenever I log in an alt that's not 60 yet, and I'm like getting ready to start, I'm like, God damn it, I gotta like run around the Maw without a mount for like 30-40 yeah. minutes just to get through this. Ugh.
You know, I am the mod intro is not that bad. It's once you've been through it and you know what's going on, you can blast through that thing in 20 minutes. Like, yes, it's annoying, but I don't think it's that bad personally.
Walk is the issue to me.
Okay.
Like, if I go on a DK, I'm just like, okay, this will take an extra 10 minutes.
Running around on my Warlock through that campaign, yeah, sure. I can see that.
Yeah, unless you're a druid or a paladin, really, or a monk, really, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I can see that.
That's my major issue. Just like you can't mount, so it's just a lot of running. And like, I of course go AFK, I tab out, and like I run off things and die, and then I'm like, God, go find my body. Yeah. So no, they're adding a bunch of skips. I think the Maul skip again. Like these are things like Maul skip. Maybe the Covenant campaign stuff. Maybe it's a little bit more involved in sort of, you know, how they had to put that tech in, right? But the Maul skip, guys, come on, man, don't make me do that Maul intro every time. Like. Do it once, let it skip. That's the reason Threads of Fate's in the game. Like, it's the reason, like, we have to do the story once, go through it, understand it. But, like, second time, third time, fourth time.
I think...
Didn't they add the Battle of Lordaeron skip, like, at the very start of BFA?
That was because that was a multiplayer instance. So after launch, you wouldn't be able to necessarily, like, get in a group for it.
I mean, I think they should have just kept that idea. That was a great idea.
I mean,
Legion have an intro skip? BFA had the intro skip right from the start. You could skip the whole like intro scenario.
Legion did. You could skip the landing on shore thing.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also,
you could skip the Dalaran quests in Legion.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is the Dalaran quests you could skip.
Could you skip the boat thing, right? Where you like land on the broken shore? Thought you could.
I thought you just said that.
Yeah, no, but now I'm second guessing myself with the Dalaran stuff because that's I remember doing
I
don't that.
Know.
For sure.
I leveled so many. I got all of the Mage Tower skins except for like one classes, and I have no idea if you can skip the Broken Shore or not.
I cannot remember.
I think I did the Broken Shore on a lot of them, even if it was optional because it was good XP.
Well, yeah. I do know you can skip the because later on the quest line you can skip the. Attack on the later part, like the 7.1 Broken Shore.
Yes, you can skip the intro for that.
Yeah.
You know, the landing on the beach didn't feel bad, you know?
That's true. It was like, pretty epic.
Yeah, and then it's like entering the mall, you're like getting hunted and you're having to walk.
Yeah, you don't get to watch Varian Wrynn die over and over again. So not as exciting. Stupid Alliance leaders.
Honestly.
But yeah, so I think so skips are coming, I guess. Some of these probably should have been in versus others. Anything else on sort of the, because I think these are the, at least to me, the larger topics, right? Was conduit energy, covenant swapping, you know, at least some of the skips in terms of that stuff. Anything else we want to touch on before we sort of go into some of the other ones? Okay.
I think that hits most of them. I do think that this is, as far as like, I don't think it's any secret that the population of WoW is not great right now, and I think this is too little too late to reverse course, but it's certainly a good step towards stemming the tide.
Well, I think I was talking to somebody earlier today actually about this, and my point was like, this is not going to pull people back that have left, right? But this is going to keep people who are thinking about leaving maybe around for at least another patch or two, right?
This is the kind of thing as well. This is the kind of, these are the kind of changes that make me, you know, more interested in playing an alt. And, you know, if I don't have to go through the Maya on every alt, I don't have to go through the Covenant campaign again. And, you know, I can get on an alt, not have to worry about those, and be done. Like, the only Covenant campaign I actually have to do at this point is going to be the Necrolord one, because I've just never done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at least for me personally, too, it'll be something that I'm sort of generally a single character type player, right? So for me, it'll be able to, like, I'll be able to swap my monk to a different conduit and get transmogs I'll never use, because I think transmogs is a dumb system, but I have to collect them because they're things I need to collect, right? So... I like the numbers that go up, right? But I mean, like, so I'll engage in that type of stuff, and so it'll be, yeah. I mean, a lot of at least these changes sort of seem like they're good, right?
Yeah.
But I think
this also secret best part of this. This change means that if you want to use the transmog from one covenant while a different covenant, you can now do that. Which means that, for example, I have the Night Fae Hearthstone from when I was a Night Fae on my monk that for most of 9.0 worked while I was Kyrian. Most of 9.0. And then they pushed a hotfix that disabled them if you were not that covenant. And I was so just incensed. Like, I could not believe that they had gone out of their way to say, no, you can't do that.
That's a good fix right there.
You
can't let Night Fae have anything.
Now I will be able to use that again.
Hate to see it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm sorry. Hannah, did you
have something? Just remove
I'm not sure if we're going to get to it, but they also added a few other items to a tweet. Wasn't sure if we get to that or not.
Yeah. I think we're gonna jump into sort of. So I was actually gonna use sort of the big post that they put out. So on the main World of Warcraft site, they put a big post and headed up a bunch of different headings of like just blurbs about what else is coming. So it aligns with what was in the tweet. At a high level, this just gives you a couple extra sentences about it. So the other thing that they started to add, so beyond that sort of the skippable stuff, Conduit Entry going away, Covenant swapping, and Covenant transforms being in sort of whatever, they've added, or they're bringing in Legion Time Walking, and they've specifically mentioned Legion Time Walking with Mythic Plus, which will be interesting. So like Legion, of course, was the first expansion that they had the Mythic Plus system put in place. So there's a lot of, right. Legion was first, right? Yeah. They had challenge modes previously, but Mythic Plus in its current form came from Legion. And so they'll now have Legion Time Walking, and you can do, I guess Mythic Plus during that time walking, which I think is a failed opportunity. Like,
I think it should just always be on. Let me do Legion Mythic Plus the whole time.
Yeah. I don't.
And you would be doing like 90s.
Yeah.
True. Like, true. You would be like, oh, let me go do some Legion Mythic Plus on this alt, and you're like, oh, I have to go get my key from 0 to 90 before it becomes challenging.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I guess this
can
this
you actually
is cool.
Do that? Have we been growing what? Up this whole time?
No, you haven't been able to do Legion.
No, you can't get keys from anything other than
keys.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But the whole idea is like, you know, you'd have to get massively scaled up. And that might just instant slock you before you even get there. And you just have to be like, okay, this is going to take me 3 hours or 4 hours to be able to get it on and all.
Well, a few things to keep in mind. One, there was a lot of magic damage back in Legion. So they're going to have to do some tuning on that one. Two, I saw somewhere that we could be doing the Mythic Plus at level, like level 60, but I'm not 100% sure.
It'll be interesting to see how they actually do the scaling, right? Because the other side of it, yeah, magic damage was a lot stronger back then. And also, there was no AoE caps, right? So like the pulls and times were all based on sort of being able to do larger pulls, more damage, right? So it'll be fun. I'm wondering what the reward structure is for something like this, right? Like, is it like just Legion gear again?
No. This is going to be very strange because we're going to have this 2-week period at around the start of 9.1.5 where we can get Legion Mythic Plus items. And at the very least, they are going to be, you know, normally time walking items are around LFR eye level. Mm-hmm. So they're not like eye level wise competitive with raid gear for the most part, but they're not that far behind, so if you have a particularly good trinket, it might see use. Legion has a lot of really good trinkets in those dungeons. Mm-hmm. We were actually talking in the tank channels about this earlier. Stuff like Writhing Heart of Darkness from Xavius in Darkheart Thicket, which is just a percent damage reduction, the stacks that you get when you crit things. Other stuff, Memento of Anger Boda from Maw of Souls, which there is no way that they do Legion Time Walking and do not include Maw of Souls. It's the iconic one. There's the trinket from Shade of Iran in Upper Karazhan. there's like all of these trinkets that are just incredible trinkets that could see use even if the eye levels are capped relatively low.
I forgot Karazhan was in Legion. Yeah, that'll be fun.
See, the question is which dungeons are they going to bring back?
Because they got
to
do all of them.
I don't think so.
No. Okay, so the developer for Storm one, the one with the seagulls. Yeah, he specifically. Storm. He said it specifically. He was working on that.
Since nobody wants Seed of Triumph,
and we get our giant seagulls.
Yeah,
that last boss is actually going to be a pain because of all of the magic damage on that one in particular. I will say, as far as tanking, the magic damage is way less concerning right now than it would have been in BFA. In BFA, it would have been like completely impractical. In Shadowlands, I think most tanks have received enough tools that work against magic damage that it'll be okay. But there's also like Legion keys were notorious for having a lot of like one shot stuff that just went out on the group. Not even like, you know, we had stuff in MDI where, you know, Windwalkers were using the Agrimmar trinket because it just gave you this gigantic absorb and it was basically functioning as a cheat death trinket for them.
Yeah. I mean, if we look at Eye of Azshara, the second boss has that giant AoE that stuns you that you have to take. I don't know if it's the stun one you have to take.
The stun you don't have to take, but
one of them you have to take, and it does a crap ton of damage. And I remember sitting there planning out how I'm going to survive this on like a 25 or 26. Like, okay, I need this trinket. I need these defensives here. I have to take Dampen Harm because Diffuse Magic doesn't work on it.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they actually put this in, and then if there's any sort of rewards outside of just the loot you get, right? Because if it's once the weird thing that's it's going to run up against, I think, is that if we, and people are going to complain about this, I don't know if this is going to be a legitimate thing, but if Legion Time Walking with Mythic Plus ever overlaps push week in sort of current content Mythic Plus, it'll be sort of like it'll be a weird like juxtaposition there. And then like if Legion Time Walking, you know, I just feel like if they're going to do Legion Time Walking, particularly around Mythic Plus, just leave it in the game. Like, it doesn't hurt anything, like particularly the way like the drop rolls work, right?
I would be super, super, super happy if they just said, yeah, Legion Mythic Plus is just on all of the time now. Because it's literally, so for one thing, I really like the Legion dungeons. I like just genuinely really enjoy those dungeons, almost every single one of them. There's a couple of stinkers, but I enjoy most of them.
Seed of Triumvirate.
Oh, yeah, the new ones. Oh, yeah, Seat was awful. What was the other new one that came with
Cathedral?
Cathedral. Yeah. That was a good one. Like, there was a good, no, like, I know you didn't play after the first day, but like, after they changed it a little bit, like, just changed some tuning, it was a really good dungeon.
Fair enough. Yeah. I never really did that.
Yeah. One, I mean, this would literally, so we're looking at 8 base dungeons, 2 Karazhan dungeons, 2 patch dungeons. Like, this would literally more than double the number of dungeons that you could do at max level in Shadowlands. And I understand that there's this in multiplayer games, there's this concern about having too many distinct queues. If you have too many different queues that people are trying to get into, then you end up, even if you have a healthy population, you know, not having enough people to fill any of the queues, and then the whole thing falls apart. I don't think that applies to this. I think it's fine to have more dungeons, because most of the time, people aren't going to go, I want to do this specific dungeon and only this one. Sometimes they do. Like, I've run a lot of Plaguefall. I know how it is. But a lot of the time, people are looking for, I want to get my, you know, 1 or 4 or 10 dungeons done for the week. And I just want to blast keys. And I do think that just having the other dungeons around is going to make doing your dungeons for the weekly less monotonous.
Yeah.
Now the question is, does this factor into your score at all?
Yeah.
And if they leave it on all the time, it should. If they don't, it shouldn't. Because then there's like, you have 1 week to get a bunch of points. And if you miss it, that's it.
And then will we have the fourth affix? Like, how's that going to work?
Oh, no. Probably not.
Probably not, but then it's like, are we going to have the same affixes?
Do they bring them back at each different time, right? So it's like, yeah, is the affix the same, but the seasonal one's just one of the, what was there, three?
What was the structure of Legion? You had an affix at 2, 7, 10, and then 15?
Nothing at 15. Nothing. There's only three.
Okay, there's only three.
And,
okay, so, and then the level 10 was fortified or tyrannical. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, and another weird thing to think about is there's no gear swapping now.
Yeah.
Which there was in Legion, and I don't, maybe I'm insane, but that was a big thing to make some of the keys feel good. Like,
yeah,
for instance, on that second boss of Ayavajara, I could swap to my tanky set right before and have good damage up to that point, have less damage, but live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this one plays out. It'll be interesting to see how they implement it, but I think it'll be fun in terms of like adding a bunch of easily reusable content, which I think Blizzard never does, because I think they think it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's a mindset thing about like they think it's cheating, right? Or they think, hey, it's done and dusted. We're not,
I think,
go
there
back,
is but a little bit of like, if they gave us Legion Mythic Plus as part of BFA Mythic Plus, I think people would have been kind of annoyed, because it would have been, you know, they would have just spent the past 3 years doing Legion Mythic Plus. Let's do the BFA Mythic Plus. But then after the first patch or something, like, bring it all back, man.
And yeah, not to mention the tuning issue that could come up, like, oh, now yeah, I have to tune for 24 dungeons worth of trinkets and gear. Not to mention the Megagon effects, you know?
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, man. Megagon bracers, when we get time walking for that. No.
Be fun. Cool. I think going down, so then moving on, I think, off the Legion stuff, since we only about 20 minutes, there's a couple of things I wanted to touch on. They basically said, or they listed in the sort of the tweet, this wasn't in the post, but this is in the tweet, the ability for, or they're talking about legendary crafting refunds, or how do they term it?
Recycling.
It was recycling, legendary crafting recycling, which,
yeah,
again, about a year too late, buds. Like, at this point, like, most people, if you cared about getting every legendary, right, you've gotten every legendary.
You've done it.
Right, you've at least gotten all rank cores.
Right. Well, no, if I remember correctly, one person said he was working on his 8th legendary, and that was about a month ago.
Gotcha. That's still, I mean, I guess it's not every one of them, but I think the idea would be is like, if you really, the ones you're going to want, you've gotten, right? So like for me personally, like, I know I've gotten like the 3 or 4 main Mistweaver ones, right? And so only one of them, of course, it 265, but or whatever, 263, whatever the cap is now. But I mean, I guess from that perspective, again, recycling at this point, like, what does that actually mean? Because if it's Soul Ash or Soul Cinders, you know, I think it's just late. Like, it's just,
yeah, I mean, it feels like something you would want at the start of an expansion or a patch, because then you can be like, oh, okay, now I need to remove this from this domination set piece. Let me get something back.
Yeah. Well, my issue is just the cost, the guild cost for it, because some people are coming in brand new and then they have to shell over on the auction house 200k gold.
That is one of the biggest failures of this expansion, which is not something that we've talked a lot about, but one of the biggest failures of this expansion is that the legendary system is completely inaccessible to casual players.
Exactly. So my issue is the fact that there's just no real way to, for a casual, to get up to rank 4, to get to rank 6 base items.
You can generate a lot, like, if you're just buying them from the auction house, you can generate a lot of gold by just doing callings in your mission table.
Yeah. Like,
you could buy them. It's just,
I mean,
it might take a while.
We are talking about like one, a new player picking up Shadowlands, coming in with very little existing gold, is going to be spending their entire, like, if they're picked a cloth class, they're good, because basically you get all the gold you need to get your legendary just from questing on that, and you would have been fine. For leather, you know, trying to get one of the less popular leather pieces, you might not even be able to buy it on your server. You still can't buy some rank 6 pieces on my server.
That's because you're on a dead server.
Yeah,
but my server is actually pretty far up the list of servers with active players.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I think
this pulled up actually the other day.
Yeah, we were talking about it. Yeah,
I feel like that when I was there.
I think from a system perspective, right? Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the one failure in terms of like the system. But I think from a recycling perspective, then at what point? I mean, what exactly would you get back, right? Like, that's the other question, is that they actually put this in. You'd of course expect to get back like the soul ash and soul cinders you've spent, right? But then do you also get a blank base item back that you could then potentially flip and make some gold and then sort of use that to buy the new piece you want, right? Whatever it ends up being. I mean, the idea though is like recycling in general, like I guess the base of the system probably wasn't that great in terms of like a bunch of gold you need to spend just to build your initial item. But even now, recycling wise, like,
yeah,
the actual people that are going to interact with something beyond just their first legendary where this is important are also going to be the people that don't have an issue spending a couple hundred thousand gold to get their third, fourth, fifth base item, right, for their upgrades. So I don't know, again, this is sort of one of those things where it's like, cool, but why? Like, at this point, it's a take it or leave it type thing for me, at least, right? This doesn't,
yeah, this is definitely not something I'm not going to do. This is good. Part of the reason I like this is alts. I have alts from 9.0 that have a legendary that, you know, if this is going to let me take, you know, that legendary, deconstruct it, get my base item or whatever, and then rebuild another legendary with it, great.
Yeah.
Or maybe just get my soul ash back, because I definitely have more alts than I have soul ash right now.
That's true, yeah. And then, 'cause you can send soul ash now, right, between characters, yes, out of that ability.
At a reduced rate. So it's like, you know, if I wanted to play my warlock, well, I'm not playing affliction this tier. I would be playing Destro. And I would definitely be, I think they changed legendaries as well, so I'd be recrafting my legendary, possibly also switching covenants, you know. A lot going on there. And that means new legendary. So anything that's going to make that easier to swap which legendary I have on that, it's going to be good. Because otherwise, yeah, it's that much more Torghast I have to do.
That's true.
And also, this is a good time for them to actually do some more tuning for the legendaries that are underperforming, or or the covenant abilities in themselves. Windwalker, literally, we're using a general legendary for all things.
Are you still using Invoker's Delight?
Still using Invoker's Delight, except for if you're Night Fae, and then you're using the Night Fae Feyline Harmony. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got four different, at least three different legendaries, specifically for Windwalkers that could use some buffs. And then you got a whole Venthyr Covenant ability that needs some type of work, whether it's just a damage boost, not really a redesign, because it's working for you, Anomaly. But maybe adding some more abilities to the DPS side of things.
Yeah.
Or just buff everything, buff healing, buff damage to that ability. Just,
well, like, there's things they could do there that actually make it really, really like way more compelling.
Like a 50% buff in healing and damage, right?
Just it's already over healing by 50%. We don't want it to go to 75.
For example, somebody actually made the suggestion recently that I think is a really neat suggestion, even if it, I don't know how they would balance it. But for example, the Ox Adepts, if they cast Keg Smash, have the Keg Smash reduce the brew cooldown on the monk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
could be like, maybe it would be too good, maybe not, but it should definitely, like, it would give it an interaction where, like, suddenly that takes Fallen Order from being a fire and forget button for Brewmaster to being something where, like, you press it and your brew generation is insane for 30 seconds. Like, absolutely nutso.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been even from, like, a Mistweaver perspective, we've talked about maybe their envelopings actually increase our healing, right? Like, the monk's healing versus just the individual ones. So, yeah, I mean, interaction from the clones to you would be something. I don't know. Sorry, Windwalkers, I know nothing about, other than they cast Fists of Fury and do stuff. So, I don't know if there's
Anything
you can do there.
Well, right? Well, no, Well, what I was thinking is more of, say, for example, if they, for example, they add Blackout Kick to their rotation, if their Blackout Kick lowers the cooldown of our Rising Sun Kick or and Fist of Fury.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be great.
That'd be actually good too. Yeah. Yeah. So some sort of interaction from the clones, yeah, to the monk and their spec would be good. So,
you know, we've suggested a lot of different ideas for them to like replace Fallen Order. This is the first time that I've been like, you know, they could just fix it. You know,
yeah.
They could just do a couple of these things and it would actually go from being kind of miserably bad to being very compelling with just like not a lot of changes.
I mean, what the biggest thing in like pre 9.1 was it just was such a long cooldown and did so little comparatively for it. Like, yeah. They would have made it like a 1 minute cooldown, then, you know, we could have gotten a legendary that maybe added interactions. But,
well, I know during beta, their attack power coefficient from the was yeah. well, it was doing 100% of the attack power of the player. So the burst potential of Fallen Monk was just insane. And so they brought it down to like 33%. And then they buffed it up to about 40%.
They did also reduce the number of clones you do get by a significant number. Spawns every 2 seconds. Now it's 3. Which doesn't sound like that big of a change, but, you know. It's
50% less.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And you could also do like pet attack commands or something where you could just like force your clones to swarm one person and mess them up.
Damn, that would actually be useful.
Yeah. It'd be really weird as a Mistweaver where you're like, okay, 8 clones, go heal this one guy.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like it's been the turbulent ability where it's like overpowered, not powerful enough. Let's conjugal some things.
You know, early on beta, I thought we were going to be all Venthyr monks because of how, if they didn't fix Fallen Order, which they did, they nerfed it a lot, but it was very high on the numbers early on. But yeah, we've got some other stuff that they are going to be adding in. So, for example, one of the things that I think is also going to be a very, very good change that should have been in a lot sooner. Legendary recipes are going to be 100% drop rate on all difficulties, which means all those recipes that, you know, drop from dungeons, you're not going to see people anymore, you know, just spamming the heroic, hoping for the drop from the third boss of Plaguefall and then leaving when they don't get it.
Now they'll just do the dungeon once and leave at the third boss.
True.
Maybe they'll actually stick around because it won't be the 15th time they've done the dungeon that day.
Mm-hmm. That's fair too.
So that's gonna be nice. For reference, legendary recipes that drop from raid already had a 100% drop rate due to the loot lockout. Yep. They're gonna be adding a couple more flight points in the maw, specifically mentioning one that will take you to, if not to the entrance of the raid, literally close enough to it that you're not gonna be doing the thing that people are trying now, where you glider close enough to the raid entrance that when you release spirit, you end up at the graveyard for the raid.
Well, I don't do that exactly. So what I do is to the left of the left entrance, there's a ramp that you can run up. And if you get high enough, you can actually see the entrance and you can glide from there.
Oh, I know.
I just take the teleporter from Venari to the Beast Warrens and then get on my mount and press W because I'm a brewmaster and they can't lock me off.
You guys are super involved. I literally stay in my order hall in Rathendreth and then they summon me to the raid. So I type /R/1 and then hit I enter and the number one means I need to summon. And then some dumb warlock does it for me. So
yeah. And then, so this is something that I have seen multiple people make kind of a big deal about, and I don't understand. Island expeditions are getting a solo queue. What?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Why? Yeah, like, I understand not being able to do the content anymore, but I don't understand wanting Like, cosmetics, I understand, I guess, pets, like,
and things like that.
Like,
because it's like, I want to go back and get those pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's pets, there's
mounts too, right?
Mounts, toys, this whole quest line for achievement that no one's running it, so no one's able to do any of the quest achievements.
And I guess this is definitely like a good thing, definitely not my thing. I just like the people that I know that are achievement hounds, like they do stuff in groups anyways. So I don't see why grouping up for island expeditions would be a problem. But then,
I mean, so
this also makes sense, like, because like solo, there's a bunch of people that their way of playing WoW for the most part is to do solo raid runs for Transmog. And I guess this allows them to now do solo island runs for Transmog. So
yeah.
Also, legitimately, islands might be better content solo than as a three-man group.
I would agree, actually.
Yeah, I mean, there's one crappy thing about them is now there's the AoE cap, so you can't just, depending on the tuning on them, you can't just pull the whole island and then murder it in three GCDs.
Yeah, they also, along with that, they mentioned legacy raid tuning, so looks like they're probably going to go back and look at a couple raids. Hopefully in Legion, because Legion raids are like notorious for being difficult to solo.
Is ANR still impossible to solo?
ANR is still impossible to solo. So is Aggramar, unless you have some sort of ability to negate the knockback, right? From Aggramar, because if it doesn't have enough people, you literally just get blasted into
into space.
Like, the next instance, right?
Literally into space.
Yeah. Coven's tough too if you don't have a pet, right? Because if you tank the sisters, because you take each other
close, and then they are like damage immune. Yeah.
I would imagine Verimathras too, right? Wasn't there something where if you're solo, you get hit with something
that does
some negative effect?
Yeah,
I just remember some solo thing that was really bad on Prague.
Yeah. So all that. Hopefully the legacy raid tuning was just like a bullet point on their tweet, so they didn't really actually even put it in their main post. So hopefully something good comes from that. So. But I think, I don't know if there's any other points we might have missed.
One other thing I want to bring up, this is actually something we talked about last week because they announced it last week, about the new customization options, and they posted some pictures. I mentioned this earlier. We are getting new customizations for Void Elves, Night Elves, Lightforged Draenei, and I think regular Draenei as well, possibly. But this is good. Night Elves in particular, Nightborn, have not very many customization options right now, so getting literally anything is a huge upgrade for them. So that's nice. And then the Draenei stuff, I actually think they're getting a Broken Horn option, which is neat.
Oh, very cool.
So
just nothing for the important race, so it's whatever.
I mean, pandas don't need any help, so
it's not pandas. Don't worry, that is not an important race. They can be burned.
Pandas are not yet.
Gnomes are where it's at.
All right. I'll give you that on Alliance. If you're Alliance,
yeah. If you're Alliance, gnomes are where it's at.
I'm undead now, actually. On my
really
strange race every races, other week.
Races don't matter, man. I'm also the only reason Blizzard still keeps money for customization options.
Mm-hmm. Every other week, he makes a new
god. Yeah, I just give them $25 every month on top of the sub fee. I'm an idiot.
I've been panda since day one. So, well, no,
you hate to hear that.
I take that back. Day one, I was orc specifically for friend request level up.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So wait, you proactively swapped a panda? Are you okay?
Yes.
Yikes.
Awesome. Anything else? We have about 5 more minutes until we're scheduled to end here. I don't know if there's any other points, or we'll probably just leave the last 5 minutes just on, I guess, thoughts from the team. I mean, that would be how I'd want to end it. I don't know if there's anything else we missed touching on. Yeah.
I mean, they say reporting improvements. What does that mean? Like, is this
like
us reporting
we're gonna see
the
more
bugs?
Sales spam bans.
Yeah, more sales spam bams, I would say.
Yeah, like you can basically report. You can't really report too many things in the Party Finder. So you just have to just pick an option, any option, and just report.
Okay, because I took that as like bug reporting improvements. And I was like, ooh,
no,
that would be really nice. F6 in client?
There's the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that keeps getting posted about in r/WoW. I don't remember his name. that just joins Keys, tells them some sob story about how he's been getting kicked, and then leaves after the key is started. And that's all they do.
What?
Yeah. Apparently it's been going on for weeks.
That's
genius.
I hate to see people getting trolled for stuff like that, but that's kind of funny.
It's the kind of thing where that person should be banned. Straight up.
100%.
That's griefing. They should be banned. And I'm not around here like going to say, you know, oh, if you ever leave a key, you should be banned, because that's obviously ridiculous. But this is somebody intentionally joining keys in order to rip them. Yeah. And like, that's one thing I actually, people have been talking a lot about why the Final Fantasy community is not as toxic as the WoW community can be. And I think there's multiple reasons. And one of the reasons that nobody really talks about is how much more serious their enforcement is. They will not put up with shit. If you are toxic in a dungeon, they will ban you.
Jesus. Yeah.
They like, you go off on one of your group members for not being able to dodge the fire, you will eat a ban. It might be a 3-day ban. It might be longer if it's a repeat offense, but you will eat a ban.
All right, and they are not afraid of that. My groups.
So
they only have one option for reporting, but they'll treat it for everything.
Yeah.
Right now it's mostly for use for real money transaction, but if you just spam it on one person, they will get banned.
So like an auto ban, like if you spam, like you like report the same guy through. Oh, that's that's.
Are you talking about WoW or Final Fantasy? Because I know there's a thing in WoW where if like multi-boxers mass reporting people and getting them at least muted, if not banned.
I can't remember. I do know that in Final Fantasy there is only one option for the reporting, and that's for real money transaction.
So. That's a weird one. How do you report someone for real money trading or transactions, right? Real money.
It's like reporting people for gold spam.
Same. Yeah, okay. That one I can understand. I was gonna say, how do you know somebody just bought gold? Like just walk up, trade someone. It's like here's a
gold. I don't have general or trade chat turned off or turned on these days, so I don't see that. But I know for a fact there are still the like spam bots that you know with spaces in between. buygold.whatever.com, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, yesterday I got a whisper in Final Fantasy where you can get 150k gold if you go to this, to the forums, and the forum link is eu.uk.finalfantasy.com or something like that. It's like, really? That's an obvious joke of an email website. So no.
Yeah, I remember when I was starting Final Fantasy, getting a bunch of spam whispers while I was hanging out in one of the towns of like, "Hey, buy Gil at this domain." Yeah. So, yeah, this is one of those things where I do think maybe we might see more proactive bans around people being just complete dicks in Dungeon Finder.
Yeah, we'll hope so. I mean, yeah, you see it. Luckily, I haven't seen it too much, right? Because I'm a little bit selective.
Insulated.
Well, that and like, I'm like, I just don't talk to people when I do dungeons. So it's just like I say hi, and then as long as no one screws up, everything's good. So like, yeah, I mean, but I can see like from a toxicity perspective. Hopefully, they take it maybe a little bit more seriously. So.
I feel like also WoW dungeons are more serious than Final Fantasy dungeons.
Leveling dungeons are complete pushovers. Mythic Plus is a whole different story. Mythic Plus is...
What I mean by that is like in like a seriousness is like not necessarily in terms of like difficulty or pushover, but like, hey, I want to get through this. Like we have to go. And it's like, if this key is ripped, I am going to be very upset. Or if, you know, you ruin this, I'm going to be very upset. Like even on your just mythic lockouts, because it's you get through a boss or two,
it's really hard to refill the group when two bosses already dead. Although you can join somebody else's group for it and just not get loot for those bosses.
Yeah,
so, fine. But yeah,
cool.
Yep. Anyway, I see your question, Dragon Slayer. We do not, unfortunately, have time for that one this week. We will definitely add it to our list because I think we're still kind of everybody's giving their reactions, and we can talk more in depth about what we think about the covenant swapping, in particular, what that's going to mean for stuff like the Mythic Plus, covenant buffs on next week's show when we do our Q&A. But for this week, that is going to be the end of our episode. Thank you all for stopping by, hanging out, asking questions. Some of you I answered in chat. Some of you will answer next week on the show. But thank you all for listening. And if you want to support this show and all the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that by going over to our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, if you don't want to or aren't able to support the Patreon financially, you can come and join our Discord. The Peak of Serenity Discord, which I'm sure many of you came from anyway, but the Peak of Serenity Discord is a great place. Come and hang out. Come and hang out in the lounge channels, in the question channels, ask questions, help answer questions, have a good time. But that is it for our show for this week. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye. Bye, guys.